All right, go with me, if you would, back to 1 Peter, chapter 1. This first epistle, or letter, that's what epistle means. Peter wrote it, and it's called, in the title, a general epistle. And what that means is, it's not written to any one person in particular. But verse 1 tells us that it is written to a particular people. It's not written to any one person in particular, like when Paul wrote his letter to Timothy, or his letter to Titus, or his letter to Philemon. And it's not written to any group of people in particular, like when he wrote his epistle to the Romans, or the Corinthians, or the Galatians. But this epistle is written to a particular people. Verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. It's to the strangers. That's who this word is written to. It's to the strangers. Now, he tells us in chapter 5 why he wrote this letter to the strangers. Look with me at 1 Peter 5, verse 12. It says, by Silvanus, also known as Silas, Paul's travel companion, Silas, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying. I wrote this short letter to exhort and testify that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. He said, I wrote this to confirm to you that you believe the truth. That's the reason I'm writing this. If you're standing on this, you're standing on the true grace of God. Now, back in our text in chapter 1, he said, I'm writing to the strangers. Who are the strangers? Who are they strangers to, and what does he have to say about them? Who are they, and who are they strangers to, and what does he have to say about them? And that's the title of the message, To the Strangers. All right, this is To the Strangers. First, look with me at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These strangers that Peter is writing to, they are men and women who die in faith. They leave this earth in the faith. In the faith of looking to Christ. They're believers. Those who are persuaded of, and they confess the promises that God has given in His Word. They're persuaded of them. They believe them. God gave promises in His Word through His Son, and these people believe them. God said, you don't have to do anything. It's all through my Son. And these particular people don't say, well, I think I better add something just in case. They just believe Him. They just embrace what God said. And they confess, I'm persuaded that He's telling the truth. I'm just going to stand on that right there. Well, why call them strangers? Who are they strangers to? Look with me at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." The world knoweth us not. Now, let me ask this question, and let's really think about it. Are we okay with that? Are you okay with that? Is it okay for the world to not know you as long as Christ does? Is it okay for everyone and everything to say, "I don't know you, I don't support you, I don't want to have anything to do with you"? Is it okay for the entire world to say that as long as God Almighty says, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I support you. I want to have something to do with you"? The Lord's people are strangers to this world, but thank God they're not strangers to Him. I mean, they're strangers. They're strangers in a world of people. They don't fit in. They don't belong. They don't even want to. Total strangers, but not to God. That's such a blessing. That is such a blessing. Back in 1 Peter 1, he said in verse 1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered." They're all scattered. They're not clumped together yet. We just sang, when I get there, I'm going to shout with the millions on high. They're all going to be clumped together. Right now, they are scattered. It's because of persecution. Persecution scattered God's people all over the world. Persecution from the world for being strangers. Let me show you something over in John 15. Look with me at John chapter 15. John 15, verse 17. "These things I command you, that you love one another." He's talking to all the strangers. Strangers ought to love each other. We're all we have. We're all each other has here on this earth, tangibly speaking. So he said in verse 17, "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake." It's because of my name's sake. "Because they know not him that sent me." They're going to do it to you because they don't know him that sent me. They've never seen him. It hasn't been revealed to them, but it's been revealed to you. Our Lord said in verse 19, he said, "My people are not of this world." And he said, "I've chosen them out of the world." And that's what Peter is repeating in our text. Go back over to 1 Peter 1. Verse 1 says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Now, don't you love the humility that God puts in His people? We mention this sometimes when we begin an epistle, but God's people, all of them, when they see God as He is, and when they see themselves for what they are, it strikes a great deal of humility in God's people. They are humble, humble people. And Peter did not arrogantly write, "The Apostle Peter says to you." Paul never called himself the Apostle Paul. He said, "Peter, the delegated messenger." That's what apostle means. The called servant. Just the called servant. Peter cried the same thing that all of God's people cry, and it's this: "I must decrease. He must increase." He must. He said, "Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ." That's what he's saying when he says an apostle. A servant of Jesus Christ. To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, Kingsport, Buck Mountain, Pikeville, Crossville, College Grove, Lexington, Ashland, Madisonville, Louisville, Danville, Orlando, Fairmont, North Carolina, Iowa, Texas, Louisiana, California, Oregon, New Jersey, Michigan, wherever God's saints are, Mexico, all the saints, all the dear saints, every location where there is one of God's scattered strangers. All of those places have some scattered strangers, some precious scattered strangers. Verse 2, Peter called them elect. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. This is what God's word has to say about His strangers. Number one, He said they're scattered. To all the strangers, they're scattered. They're all over this world. And He said, "You send this gospel to all the world." And the reason is because my strangers are scattered over all the world. Every tribe in the world. Every nation in the world. You send the gospel all over this world. And then He said, every single one of them has been chosen out of the world. They're all elect according to the foreknowledge of God. What that means is before this world ever was. This brings me so much comfort. If I believed that a soul, the salvation of a soul, was dependent on me, I think the responsibility would be so great I'd just kill over right now. Really, if I believed that it was up to me to save someone's soul, I think that's what would happen. I think I'd just kill over. But thank God it's not up to me. Before the foundation of this world, God made this world. He made everything about this world. He foreordained, according to the foreknowledge of God, He ordained this moment. He ordains His word to go out all over this world. He has scattered His peculiar people, His treasure, all of these strangers to the world, and He's going to take His word and He is going to find them with it. And He's going to use men to do it, but in spite of men, that word's going to go out. It's going to bless the hearts of every person it's supposed to bless. They're going to see Christ as He is. And Peter said, "This is the message of Scripture. This is the message I'm so happy to preach. This is to the strangers, scattered all over the place, elect according to the foreknowledge of God." Every single stranger that has been chosen on purpose. Chosen on purpose. Chosen to be a stranger. Look with me at Acts 13. This is one of my favorite verses. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. You know, can you imagine the Gentiles? You know, everything's to the Jews. Those Jews were so proud. We're the Jews, and we have all these laws, and we have all these ordinances. And then the gospel comes to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What did they tell these Gentiles throughout these chapters in Acts? They told them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's what we still say. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the commandment. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing full well that as many as were ordained to believe will believe. Every ordained stranger that embraces the truth of God's word and confesses that he or she is persuaded Christ is all, every one of them were ordained to that. Ordained to believe that. They didn't believe it on their own. Couldn't believe it on their own. They were foreordained to believe that. Romans 8 says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our Lord said, I was a stranger. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. Everything they did to me, they're going to do to you. He's the firstborn among many brethren just like him. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Everything about him was ordained. Everything. 2 Thessalonians 2 says they were chosen to salvation. Ordained. Chosen to it. Go with me back over to 1 Peter 1. Verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Every one of God's strangers have been set apart for God's use. Set apart to him. Set apart for him. That's what sanctification means. Set apart. Pulled out. Spared. For him. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I want to read this and understand this in two ways. Number one, every one of God's strangers have been sanctified by the Spirit, set apart by the Spirit through the obedience and the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. We are set apart through his obedience, through his blood. Everything that he did is what sets us apart. What makes us better than another? Here's the answer. His obedience and his blood. He was better. And the Spirit applied everything he is to his people. We're set apart through the obedience and the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. All from the same lump. Isn't that what the scripture says? All cut out of the same lump. We are what we are by the. And that's the first thing Peter says to him. The end of verse 2, he said, grace unto you. This is the first thing he has to say. Elect. And what makes this so wonderful, what makes this election so effectual, is this grace unto you and this peace that's multiplied. God's strangers, they're a scattered people. Strangers to the world and scattered. But God's strangers are an elect people, chosen to salvation, ordained. God's strangers are a sanctified people. They're all set apart unto God. And it's all because of His grace. God's grace to strangers. God's kindness to strangers. The word strangers means aliens. That's what, if you look it up, it means aliens. I want to show you God's grace to aliens in Ephesians 2. Go with me over there to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, the end of verse 5 says, by grace. Everything he's saying here is by grace. The middle of verse 7 says, the exceeding riches of His grace. Verse 8 says, for by grace. This is all by grace. Now, what is that grace? Verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, the sinner and the Savior. He's made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You talk about kind. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity. What that means is we hated Him. 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 So what did He do? He attached Himself to us, and He made of twain one flesh, and He broke down that middle wall of partition, and He completely did away with every ounce of that enmity. And now we cry, we love Him. We love Him. Thank God for Him. Oh, we love Him. Verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man. That means Christ in us, us in Him. One new man. So making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I'd like to read that verse again because I like that one. Through Him, He always had access to the Father. He prayed, Father, I know You always hear me. He could go back to His Father, ascend right back. But now through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now let me just ask this question. Are you okay with that? You okay with that? Are we okay with being strangers to this world? I mean strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Are you okay with being allowed to live in God's house forever? In one body, by the cross, he slew the enmity. He made peace. And now, because of that, we both have access to the Father. No more strangers. Fellow citizens. A house where God lives. Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, don't go back, but I told you we were going to look at verse 2 in our text. Two ways. Number one, God's strangers are sanctified through the obedience and blood shed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second thing we see is God's strangers are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. And this is what it says in that verse. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what that means, and we're going to close with this. Go over with me to John 10. We're set apart through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and unto the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. John 10, verse 24. It says, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep, my strangers, my elect, hear my voice, and I know them." The world doesn't, but I do. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. They come to me in obedience. They come to me in faith. They come to my righteousness. They come to my blood alone. They have nowhere else to go. Isn't that what Peter said? Lord, we don't have anywhere else to go. No other salvation but you. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." They come to me. They're set apart by that Spirit unto obedience. And they come. And when they do, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. How happy are we that God has made us to be strangers to this world? How thankful are we for that? In the flesh, we're children of the world. In the flesh, we are lovers of the world, destined for the destruction of the world. But by His Spirit, in His choice, through His work of grace, He redeemed us out. Pulled us to Himself. He made us to be fellow citizens and joint heirs. Family members. And that's always going to be amazing to me. Not only did He not kill us. That's great mercy. But the grace is he made us part of the family. Family members with Christ himself. To all the strangers, it said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. All right, let's all stand together and